Bezras Hashem, we are going to prepare for the spring semester, Kitab Mehalacha, final. So there are 11 shiurim. There are 12 classes, plus the Shrita. Shrita, we're not going to have a regular exam. I'm not going to ask you to, you know, give a nakir, give a nasha. But there are 12 shiurim. One of them was a double because it was Grander's presentation about the science, and then the second one about the halacha. We'll push it to one. So there are 11 topics that we have to discuss. Today, Bez Hashem, we'll see at least six, and I'll see if we can get seven of them. Let's begin with the Rabbi Kohen Torah Shira on Tumas Kohanim. So, we know that Kohanim are not supposed to become Tame. There are three kinds of Tuma. There's Maga, there's Masa, and there's Ohel. Clearly, Maga and Masa apply to Kohanim. I'll not rephrase that. Kohanim are bound, are restricted in all three. As far as if the mace is a guy, are Kohanim restricted from Mesa Medrei? So Masa and Maga, definitely it's Mesa Medrei. The question is about Ohel. By Ohel, there's Machlokes, Tanai, Rishonim, Shulchan Aruch, Rama. The Shulchan Aruch is Machmir, that a Goy is Metamei but Ohel. Rama is Mekel, but Rama still says that one should be Machmir. Now, in the Dalkur of Baba, quote, let's start with a Raivin. There's a Raivin in Hilchas Naziris who says that if you're Tamei already, so that's called Tumah b'chibur. Once you're Tumah already, you can still touch more Tumah. Now, there, he argues on the Rambam. The Rambam, let's say there's a case where a person becomes Tumah. If you're Tumah and then you, while you're touching a mace, you want to touch something else, that's fine. If you're Tumah and then you let go of that mace, you touch the mace and you let go of the mace, and now you want to touch another mace while you're still in the halacha of Tumah, although you're not holding the Tumah, that's going to be a machlokas, since you, you're, on one hand, you're not delaying the hazan. On the other hand, you are touching something else. So the Rambam says that that's going to be maser. And the Raivid says, and this is the key line, that you're not being mosif tuma al tumah. So, and the Raivid there says that since nowadays all of our kohanim are anyway tmei meis, we're not concerned about being mosif tuma al tumah. So it sounds from this Raivid that there is no iser of a kohen bizman hazeh for anyway a kohen anyway who is tamei to touch any tumah, and this Raivid is going to be the source for people who want to be mitzari shitos to permit certain situations of kohen bizman hazeh. So, for example, Dagon Rebaba suggests the following sekseka. He says we have the Raivid who says that once you tamei kohen bizman hazeh, when tamei ready, there's no problem with them touching anything else. If you add that, it's a Raivid that we that the Rambam argues on. Oh. But since we just mentioned that there is a suffix by Ohel, by a guy being a tamei guy mace in an Ohel, that also is a machlokas. So we could sorry, cool it. We could have a sekseka. Maybe we pass like the Raivid that there's no tumah for kohanim bizman hazeh. And even if there is, maybe a guy is not a tamei for Ohel mace, and that would be a heter to permit kohanim to be bizman hazeh, to be in the same Ohel as a mace. However, the Dagon Rebaba retract, that's the sekseka of Dagon Rebaba. However, he retracts his kula because, first of all, when the Raivid said that kohanim bizman hazeh are not bound by Toma anymore because they're already Tmei Meis, that might just mean that they don't get Malkos anymore because they're already Tmei Meis, but it might still be Nisa Doraisa. Secondly, Chassid Sof says that the Raivid elsewhere in the Tmei Deim retracts his position and holds that there is an Isser of Tum B'chiburim even when somebody's already Tmei. This Raivid was suggested, was advanced as being a heter to allow kohanim to attend medical school. I'm sorry, this is Dagon Rebaba. Based on the Raivid, was advanced to permit people to go to medical school. It's only going to touch the cadaver, but it's just being in the same room. But it's shver because, again, this Raivid is Das Yachid, and Raivid, as we just said, might be Chozer, and might still be Asir Darais, even though there's a Pshtim Malkus. The Igros Moshe speaks very harsh words, saying that a Kohen is not permitted to go to medical school, and who this Raivid is not what to rely on. The Dagon Rebaba also is not reliable, as we mentioned. And he adds another few sources. First of all, he says the Pikuach Nefesh argument is garbage. He uses Pikuach that word. Because Pikuach Nefesh just means the same way that a person is not a chuyav to become wealthy so they can give miser, so to you're not obligated to go to medical school so you can save a life. Pikuach Nefesh is once you're a doctor, then you have a mitzvah to save a life. Similarly, we have other doctors. We have Jewish doctors. We have Jewish doctors whose last name is not Cohen. And therefore, the Moshe would prohibit somebody from becoming a going to medical school if this would be a problem to myself.
As far as the Rambam,
Gemara is still having to be Chacholim. So there's an issue if you go on a floor where there's a mace, so if the doors are open, then the roof will be ma'ahil on both you and that dead body, and it's like all the roofs are all in the hallways, now will be a problem. But even if doors are closed, there might still be a problem of softa malatzeh. Softa malatzeh means if the mace will be taken out through a certain exit, through a certain elevator, so even if there's no mace there now, the fact that in the future, in 3 hours from now, the mace will be traveling out that doorway, then already from right now, Chazal see, presumably it's the Rabbanu, Chazal see that you can't go through that doorway because we consider the mace there now. And if there's no designated door through which the mace will be exiting, then we are concerned with every single doorway leading out from where the mace is situated. Because you don't know where it's going to be. So every doorway has a din of self-tumalaxes, and it will be also to go through those doorways or those elevators. Nowadays, it's not as terrible, principally because oftentimes there are service elevators, but more importantly, there's a svara of Yeshua Yaakov who says that when do we say self-tumalaxes? Self-tumalaxes is because there's a lot of shukwain. Since there's a chiyuv to bury the person, we know he's going to go out. But that might only apply to a year. But a guy who there's no chiyuv to bury, since there's no chiyuv to bury a guy, we don't have the assumption that he's necessarily going to be taken out at all. And therefore, there might not be an insert of softa malatzes.
You say that?
That's the Yeshua's Yaakov. So based on that, the Roshavta suggests that you could have a little bit of a tzira. That if we're assuming that the whole time, if it's a guy anyway, that those who make a guy, Tumas Ola of a guy. And it's not even regular Tumas Ola, softa malatzes, which we just mentioned might not apply to a guy because he doesn't have a chiyuv kvura. So there could be a chumra. On top of the chumra, and Rosh Hashanah is mekel not to apply to Isser. So to Malatzes, in a situation of Meisei Akon and Chutz La'aretz. Many reject that, but that's Rosh Hashanah would be mekel in that situation. Besides the issue of dead bodies, there's also the ever-present presence of skeletons in the closet, literally. And that would be a problem in... If there's an atrium that opens up to the various floors, it could be a problem even in the hospital entrance. Even if it doesn't open to any clinical ward, it could still be a problem. As far as visiting people, the Moshe says that Medina, you could go bus a row of Goyim, that Me'ikr Me'ikr Hadin, Ramah said, they're not Metame Ba'odel, and therefore, Bashar, again, we're not making this, but a Bashar Tzorech or Shalakayas, if it's absolutely necessary, there is makom to be mekel when absolutely necessary to allow a person to visit a close relative in the hospital because of the mehikur hadin paskin that may see akum or not on time for all. If a woman is pregnant, Mrs. Cohen is pregnant, and she doesn't know what she has inside, so can she go to a levaya or not? So the shach cites a rokeach who says that we have a sex faker. Safek will be a nefel, so safek will be a ben kayama. And Safek, the Bey will be a Zafar, or Safek, the Bey will be in a Keva. We know the Kevas are not Nuchul Yavos in the din of Tumas Kuhuna. So the Achronim asks, wait a second, why is he giving a Safek to be Machu, this fetus, and this baby cone in his mother's belly? Because of a Safek, typically that's Tahara Blua. I know that Tahara Blua, like if you have swallow a ring, and you walk into a cemetery that it doesn't become Tameh. So the Achiezer gives you so. He says the iser of Tumas Akim is not, I'm sorry, the iser of Tumas Kavuna is not to actually become Tumah. Because you're right, there is no real Tumah to this baby if he's in his mother's womb, he's a Tumah Blua. However, the iser of Tumas Kavuna is that an iser of Kirubunis. So even though technically, because of Tumah Blua, the baby will not become Tumah, nevertheless, since he's still Karub Lames, that's what the iser would be. Nevertheless, that's an answer to why Rokeh has a sex faker. But if you do have this sex faker to be matir, keep in mind that if there's an ultrasound, you don't have the suffix, if it's the ninth month, for example, then there's no suffix nefel. If there's ultrasound, there might not be a suffix in the cave, a suffix zakar. So one has to be aware of those medical advances. The idea that we just mentioned, the Achiezer, says that the issue of Tumas Kohen is not an issue to actually become tummy, but just to become the mace, both manifests itself in another area. We'll mention one, maybe another one in a few minutes. That is Cher Marev de Cholot. Now, the halacha is that if a piece of metal touched a corpse, that piece of metal, even if it's in a different place, makes the has a din of a corpse. So Tosfos asks, what do you mean? Every house has some metal that has that at some point could attract it to make
nice.
So why is it going to be mutter to why are there those who are metal for harel kachalo with kufur kuvut kohen? So Jack suggests with the achiezer we just mentioned that the issue is not just being tama. You're right that being in a room where there's a cherev might make a person tama, but that's still going to be mutter possibly because you're far away. This coming into this room where there's a piece of metal that was a scalpel that was once used to touch a mace, that's still very far away from any dead bodies. So therefore, even though there is a din tuma, there's still a very a great distance. So that will not be what a kohen is bound to not violate. As far as a car driving through a cemetery, we assume that a car is not going to be chotzis between the tuma and the person driving the car. And therefore, it will be a problem for a kohen to drive, over a grave. First of all, because all zarek, the car is all zarek, it's moving, it doesn't have a din oel. Secondly, the car itself is metal. Metal, we know, is not chotzis between a tuma. As far as airplanes over cemeteries, could be an issue because we mile over a kever. The question is, will the plane be chotzis b'fnei ha'tumah? Because planes are made out of aluminum, and is aluminum a kabel tumah or not? Because the Torah only lists six specific metals, and the question is, when the Torah mentions those six metals that are a kabel tumah, is it just those six metals or is it metals in general? Since the machlokas, the grus says only these six are metal, and therefore aluminum would not be mekabel tumah, and therefore a plane could be chotzis b'fnei ha'tumah. But the Tiferes Yisrael says no. Anything that's has metallic properties has a din of metal, and therefore they will also contract tuma. And even if one would be maker like the gra that aluminum is not mekabel tuma, we still have to be concerned that the screws might be made of real metal, of steel or iron or something, and that would be mamid the davar mekabel tuma. However, one added point that we have to add a third application of tuma of Achiezer's Yisod, that the Isra of a Kohen is not just to become Tumah, but to be close to Tumah. If a plane is flying, 7,000 feet in the air, even though he might have a din of being Tumah, but since there's no kirva to the Tumah, based on Achiezer's explanation of what the Isra of a Kohen is, it might be permitted, because even though he's becoming Tumah, he's not becoming close to the dead body. Yeah.
Would it not be
Mekalotum
to get rid of the
Olzar
problem also?
Let's move on.
Okay, yeah.
Let's talk about a Jewish body in the cargo. So, if we want to, for instance, the Kohen's going on a flight and there's a dead body downstairs. So, first of all, you want to make a box that's not Mekalotum, like make it made of plastic, for example, so this way it can be Fonseis. But if we say that this is in a plane, so maybe the box will be a holzarek. And if it's a holzarek, it won't be chotzis b'fnei ha'tumah. So there are two svaras to maybe say why this is, that the box is not considered a holzarek. And therefore, if it's not a holzarek, maybe it will be chotzis b'fnei ha'tumah. First of all, Chalkas Yaakov says that relative to the passengers, the box is not moving. The box is stationary relative to the passengers. So therefore, maybe it's not a holzarek. If that's the case, if it's not an Ohel Zarek, then it could be chotzis b'fnei ha'tumah, and that box will allow a kohen to be in the other sections of the plane. Others say no. It doesn't matter if the box is flying through the air, therefore maybe it will be Ohel Zarek. Additionally, there's a problem of it being on the plane, because even if the box is sitting on the plane, and it's even if the box is chotzis, it doesn't allow tumah to go anywhere. The problem is that the plane is holding it up. The plane is holding this box where it is, in the air. And therefore, perhaps the plane is mamid mekabel tumah, so you'd be mamid the davar mekabel tumah, and the whole plane would carry the tumah. That's something to consider. Therefore, it's best for a plane to avoid traveling a plane with dead bodies. I just want to clarify, in general, the goal here is not just to review, it's also to, every shiur has, let's say, a bunch of parts. My goal is to sort of divide the, let's say, every part has a shiur has 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 parts. I'm going to try to, I determine for you, you know, organize for you, this is one part, this is another part, this is another part. So you'll see as we go that we'll try, that's not just going over the material, but also grouping it for you. Hopefully, when you review your notes, it'll be more manageable. Okay, next shiur. Let's talk about Rosh Chodesh this year on Yerusha. So first of all, according to Torah law, daughter gets nothing, but a son who dies, his daughters will be Yoresh, the grandfather. The Rishonim talk about, the Ramah quotes Rishonim talking about how do we help girls get some kind of Yerusha, according to Torah, they're not supposed to. So the Rishonim talk about giving, setting up a way to get them a Chatzi Zachar, whatever half of the boys are getting. Nowadays, Rishon Zalman says, no, that's not, you know, girls nowadays won't be satisfied with half either. It should be divided equally, but we'll see how to do that. So let's back up. Let's start with the halachas of Pishnayim. Pishnayim only applies when a man dies, not a, when a father dies, not a mother. It only goes to a male, Bechor, not a Bechora. And also applies only to Mufsak, not to Rav. The question is, what's Mufsak, what's Rav? So any, if there is a chov that will be collected, if there's a lottery ticket, and the father dies, loses over a lottery ticket, that's going to be Rav, there won't be Pishnayim on that. But if there's a chov, so that's going to be Machlokas Tana. And then we hold that it's Roi, and therefore the Bechor will not get Pishnayim of that outstanding debt. The question is, what about if money left to a bank that's insured? If it's an insured bank, so you know you're going to get the money out of this, let me rephrase that. Every money that I put in a savings account is a loan from me to the bank. I'm lending the bank money. So that means that when I'm waiting for them to repay, if a father dies and leaves over a bank account, that should be a, that should be wrong. And the son should not get double pishnayim of the entire savings account, the checking account. So perhaps we're going to suggest that if it's a bank is insured and you know he's going to pay back, maybe that will make it as though we're more certain, and maybe that can make it more certain. That was a machlokas. Another Yehuda said that I don't care if it's federally insured. Every the fact that it's a loan and you don't have it, you don't have the money in your, you know, in your piggy bank, but it's in a bank account. So that's halva, and therefore there's not going to be pishnayim. Ramosha says, no, since you know you're going to get it back, it's considered mufsak, and the bechor will get the shnayim. The Schechter, I think, held like, I think considered that it would be, that it would be mufsak, and it would be shnayim. Okay. Now, why are we in general following the halachas of Yerusha? After all, why don't we follow the halachas of Dina? So the reason number one why we apply Dina, that we don't apply Dina D'Machlis Dina for Yerusha, is that Dina D'Machlis Dina only applies between a Jew and a Kohen. Yerusha, by definition, is between two Jews. So there's no starting, you don't apply Dina D'Machlis Dina with any case of Yerusha. Second reason is the Rishitas HaRambam, who makes up a drasha from somewhere, and says that by Yerusha it says Chukas Mishpat, to indicate that it's not just a mishpah, it's not just a dina moment, it's also a dina chok, it also has some isur v'heter, and therefore we won't apply the same way, we don't say, we, in the same way that tonight works by mominus, because that's mominus you can make a tonight, but by isur v'heter, it's masna mashakas ben Torah. So too, Yerusha has that choshen mishpah, I'm sorry, that isur v'heter different component, and therefore you can't just make tonight, on a Yerusha, because it would be again Masa Mashkas Torah.
Using the Tanai?
What?
Using applying the rules of Tanai, the Machus of Dinah would be the equivalent of applying Tanai?
No, there's just two applications of where the fact that it's Isra as opposed to Momonos comes into play. Number one, Dinah the Machus of Dinah would not apply to Isra Hatter. And similarly, Tanai does not apply to things that are Isra Hatter. The concept of allowing of leaving a tzava financial will. The Gemara does say, based on the pasuk of Yom HaTchilo Esbanav, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brotha says, you're allowed to give over or determine how you distribute your money, but it is limited. So it is only permitted, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Brotha says, to someone who will anyway get Yerusha, meaning I can't decide to leave Yerusha to my daughter because she's not a Bas Yerusha. However, within my sons, my male sons, I am allowed to adjust the percentages that they receive. So it has to be only the ability to leave itself is only among those who anyway will be a Rish. And secondly, it has to be done, it has to be articulated in a positive phraseology. In other words, that so-and-so will get this percent, so-and-so that percent. I can't say, I don't want, you know, my this kid to, I don't want him to get Yerusha, I don't want him to get as much as brothers. That's meaningless. It has to be in a positive lashon. Now, the din that we mentioned before of Roy, now, when we have a case of somebody who's leaving Yerusha, the Torah says that it's not, even though we just said that it's possible to adjust the percentages, but the Torah says that the Gemara says it's not proper for you to be ma'avir nachala, lo tehei ba'avor yachsanta. So the Gemara tells a story, Yosef ben Yoezer, who had a son, he wasn't happy with how his son turned out, so he decided to donate all of his wealth to the Beis HaMikdash, which we would think, oh, he's such a, you know, father's such a tzaddik. And from the Rabbanim at the time, were actually very unhappy with that father. So therefore, the idea of cutting a son out of a will, even if you don't like what that son is, the choices that son made, that's not a right thing to do. As Moshe says, if his mamish, if the kid is completely not religious, the kid married a guy, on their dream, on the Ahmas Nefesh, come to some broke off ties for many years, then maybe there would be room to be Ma'avi Asanta and to cut them out of the will, but under normal circumstances, just because they didn't become the Talmud Chacham you wish them to become, then you don't have the right to cross them off. Now, as far as leaving money over to the stuff, so more than a chomesh is usher when you're alive, because you don't have enough money to live, but could you give more than a chomesh when you're going to die? So maybe that would be appropriate. The question is, how much stuff could you give? How much stuff are you supposed to leave for your yoshim? Because we just said that you're not supposed to be ma'avi yachsanta and take away Yerusha from your children who are waiting for it. So how much can you give? So the Tosafot says, all you have to leave for your children is 4 dinarim, $3, and that you left the Yerusha for your sons, the rest you can give away and stuff. So Kaczynski said, no, it's Rov. 51% has to go to Yerusha, but 49% you'll be permitted to give to Stavra. The Yerus Moshe and the Pesach Chut, the Chasim Sofer, says you have to leave a Dorach Hashem. So a Dorach Hashem, you have to leave for your children. So maybe Dorach Hashem nowadays, the Moshe Chut, he mentioned $1,000, maybe now they do $10,000 or $25,000. Everything else, aside from leaving them that critical mass of whatever Dorach Hashem is, all the rest you're permitted to give to Stavra to give away. Now, how are we going to allow the possibility of a husband who does want to leave his Yerusha either for his wife, who Midoraisa does not inherit at all, or for his daughters who do not inherit at all? So this is going to be what we call a halakhic will. Halakhic will is the following. You can't, as we mentioned earlier, the only people to whom you're allowed to adjust, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Brotha said you could be ma'avir nachla to certain people, is only to people who will get nachla, like your boys. But your daughters who don't get any nachla, you will not be able to adjust anything as far as Yerusha. What you have to do is you have to get your will and turn it into not being a Yerusha. How do you do that? You make a hiskaivus. So you make a hiskaivus when you're still alive. You're alive and kicking, and you say to yourself, oh, I want to be mischayev myself. Let's say I have a bunch of daughters, a bunch of sons. I'm going to say, I am mischayev my wife. I'm mischayev my wife. How much do I have? I have $5 million. I'm mischayev $6 million to my wife. So when I die, if I'm mischayev myself right now, $6 million to my wife, so the Yorshim, when they get the $5 million, what are they going to end up with? They'll end up with zero, because they have an outstanding debt that they have to pay from my wealth to fill in the debts that I owe to my wife. So then I'll add a clause in my last will testament that says something like, However, if the children decide to follow my way of distributing the will the way I want it, then I hereby retract. This is chaybus. I hereby amavato my chaybus to my wife, and then we will be able to divide the monies. Then there will be money left that they will be able to divide. So let's not talk about a wife. That gets more complicated. So let's say halacha ma'isa. The person has two boys, two girls, and he wants everybody to get $1 million. He's leaving with four. He expects that when he dies, he'll have his estate be about $4 million. So if he would just say, "I leave my money equally," that doesn't work. That's against masa masha katzbeta. So what he's going to do is he's going to say, "I hereby commit right now." He has to say like this. He has to say, "I'm committing now, and it will be collectible a minute before I die, the amount of $4 million to my daughters. When I die, what's going to happen? There won't be any money for my boys to inherit at all." Okay, so they're in trouble. When I made this shtar, I say, however, if my boys will divide my estate equally, I hereby mevatel the money, the hiskaivas that I made to my daughters, if they follow my interest. My interest is that everybody should get $1 million, either whether it be boy or girl. And that would be a way to equal the playing field, as far as as much as he should get, as far as allowing my wife to get, as far as allowing my daughters to inherit. That would be how we enable people who are not in the line of Yerusha to still get what they need to get. Yeah.
Why don't you just inscribe yourself $2 million to each group? Like, why the whole twisting their arms in order to give it?
You can inscribe yourself $1 million to each person. That's also fine. If you have two boys, two girls, you can inscribe yourself $1 million to each person.
Right.
And then they'll have to. But you don't really know how much is going to be left exactly. So,
yeah.
It is interesting and hard to understand. Ramosha Lamaisa did not leave. Ramosha left the secular will. So apparently, you know, some people are a bit different, but most folks can say a person should leave a will. Next, okay, that's the end of that year. Let's move on to caring for children. So first of all, let's speak about nursing. To pump, for a woman who's nursing, to pump is an issur d'oraisa, that's gisha d'oraisa. However, a woman is in pain if she doesn't pump, so theoretically we're going to be in trouble. So we want to alleviate the mother's pain. That's the baby's not drinking. So how do we alleviate the mother's pain? So if we are going to be able to knock down the issur of pumping to an issur d'rabanan, then perhaps the makom tsar, it's an issur d'rabanan, and if the makom tsar, then we'll be able to permit her to pump to alleviate her pain. How do you knock down the iser of pumping milk, which is the raisa, to make it only an iser? So there are two ways we could say it. Either we could say it that we could say that it's going to be a malach shein and tzrich l'gul. By making the milk go to ibud, if you let it go down the drain and let it get destroyed, go drip into some liquid detergent or something at the bottom of the bottle, so then you're not doing it for the purpose of the getting milk, so we want shein and tzrich l'gul. That would be Yisra Draban, Makom Tsar, will be able to permit. Others say that by Disha, there's a heta, that Disha Shalom Letzoref, it's also not a malacha, so that would also be a heta. As far as making baby cereal or oatmeal, so here we have a problem of Lisha, making a dough, making a batter. So there's Machlokas Rishonim and Machlokas in the Shavara. What's the sort of the moment of the Isser of Lisha? Is it the moment of the Sinas Hamayim? Is that when you're making the dough? So then if you can make a Shinui at that moment when you're adding the water, that will perhaps be a Heter. Or is the moment of the Isser of making the dough when you're being Megabel, doing the add the kneading with a keg? Then therefore if you make a Shinui at that moment, it will be Mutter. So what do? We will make a Shinui. Since we're not sure what is the moment of Lisha, we will therefore do a shinui in both of those possible critical moments. In the Nesinas HaMayim, we'll pour in the opposite order of however water is supposed to be poured. And we'll also do shinui in the gibel, meaning we'll try to mix with our fingers, maybe we'll mix with a chassis de air instead of around in a circle, we'll shake it instead of scrambling it. Fine. So we will do both of those. And even when you do both of those moments of shinui, in as many ways as you can, you also have to realize that this that we're going to permit, the shinui is only going to be by a lisha that's only derabanan. How do you not lisha down to be derabanan so that you'll allow these shinuyim? That's if it's a blila rakam, like a pancake batter. If it's a thick dough, that would be problem. So if you are going to make oatmeal for a baby on Shabbos, it should be a thin batter. It should be very liquidy. And once it's liquidy, you'll make both shinuyim. Let's talk about cutting chicken or vegetables for babies. So the halacha is that tofein says that it's usher to chop things into small pieces. How small is small? So the Reim says we have no idea how small is small. That's one concern. How do we alleviate that concern if you don't know how to cut things small? So first of all, you don't cut it so small. Okay, but still we're not sure how big they have to be. Another heter would be the following. We know that by borer, there's a heter of la'alpe. Right? If you're borer immediately before Suda, that's not considered that malacha, that's rather considered derech achila, and therefore borer la'alter is mutter. So the Rashba says, just like we say by borer that la'alter is mutter, so too, when it comes to tofein, we will also permit tofein if it's la'alter. So therefore, if you're going to do your tofein immediately before a meal, the Rashba would permit it. It's not so simple that we follow the Rashba, so therefore we'll try to combine both the tail. We'll try to, whenever you have to cut something for a baby, cut it right for the meal. And also, try to cut the pieces a little bigger than usual, so if you have, they're not so small, and they are, it's right for the meal, then for a child, there's room to be made. Let's talk about mashing a banana. Mashing a banana, the Chazon Ish says that everything that we said before, you don't have these kulas by mashing a banana. Because the Chazon Ish holds that the Isser Midaraisa, that token, the mashing, the smushing a banana, is token to araisa. Because cutting vegetables, you're only cutting, you're not making them so tiny, but smushing, that's mamish, going to be an issue to araisa. Because that's much similar to the grinding motion of grinding wheat. Just like you grind wheat, so it's a grinding motion as opposed to a chopping motion. So too, that's going to be an issue to araisa if you mash a banana or an avocado. However, and he holds that yisr would apply even if it's samach l'seuda. You wouldn't have the kula of the Rashba that we mentioned a moment ago. However, the Rashba says, the Chazmish says, I'm sorry, but if you use kla'achaya, like the back of a spoon, then not only does it become not of the deraisa, he holds it becomes mutter gamur. So according to Chazmish, you cannot mash a banana or an avocado at all, it's deraisa, but if you use the back of a spoon, it's mutter gamur. The Rav Moshe Feinstein doesn't really understand why the Chazmish is so mekel. It's so machmir. It shouldn't be. You know, shmushing is not an issur d'oraisa. The point of tofein is that you're taking a piece and chopping it into small chunks. By avocado or banana, you're just making to a mush. That shouldn't be tofein at all. So the Rav Moshe says it should be totally mutter, except for the fact that the Chazmish holds reish dark from it. So therefore, will be will have come for the Chazmish, but since he was mekel, at least for using kalachayad, we'll follow that kula kalachayad. So halacha lemaisa, when you want to mash a banana, do it with the back of a spoon or the handle of a fork. Next one. Let's go and talk about diaper changing. So baby wipes, squeezing, when we talk about using a baby wipe, part of the point of a baby wipe is that it has liquid in it, and therefore it might get squeezed, and that's why it does it. That's why it works better than the tissue. So this squeezing fabric could be an issur d'oraisa of kibbutz, or libun, or it could be dash schita. Depends if it's absorbed into the fabric or it's sort of sitting atop the fabric. So this is a machlokas and poskim. You will use a machmir or shef mekel. Fine. As far as other aspects of diapers, in terms of korea and tofer. Being Middah, we know the Rambam tells us that it's Korea and Topher is not just ripping sheets of paper, but it's also attaching and disattaching sheets of paper. So stickers, for example, could be an issur d'oraisa of separating a Korea and applying a sticker that could be Topher. So Velcro is definitely okay, but we might be concerned about the attaching and unattaching of diapers. What should we say about this? Maybe we should say that it's only a problem if it's shel kayam. The problem is that it's better, the poskim say, it's better not to do tofer, even if it's not shel kayam. So therefore, when you And but certainly, if it's done shel kayam, it's definitely a process. When you close a diaper after it's a dirty diaper, you want to throw it in the garbage. If you're going to close the tabs, then it will be, you know, it's going to stay that way forever. Right? You're putting in the garbage with the tabs closed. That might be such shel kayam, so that's better to avoid. What about untying when you have a new diaper? You untie again. It's velcro is fine, but if it's real sticky, that wasn't the velcro, I think. If it's real sticky, like a sticker, then when you're untying, when you're undoing it, you're taking it off forever. So some are matir because of the svara that since the manufacturer intends that it should be opened at any point, that's called by definition ein shel kayam. Others say, no, you should open and close all your diapers before Shabbos to make them not shel kayam. That's most of them are velcro. Okay, next point, let's talk about diaper rash. Applying ointments is an isra of mimareah from a matik. However, if you just plop it on, that's considered kilachayad, and kilachayad is mutter for a chola. The baby has a dirv chola, any baby who's not comfortable has a dirv chola, and therefore it would be mutter to plop it on, and if you just plop it on the baby's body, and then you put a diaper on, as the baby moves around, it will just get smooth around by itself. You don't have to worry about that. It'll take care of itself. Keep in mind, when a person has a. Okay, what about where there's no Eruv and the baby, you take your child out and he refuses or she refuses to walk home? So obviously, there are three options. Best thing is to bribe them with whatever you need to bribe them with to get them to walk. If that's not going to be an option, then you could ask a guy, because since we live in a Carmelist and Amiel and Afri, to carry a Carmelist would be shvus to shvus, the makom, what's the makom? So every, as we said, any baby that's a tzorech is a din of a chola, so this would be shvus to shvus, makom chola, or sort of, so if you really have to rely on that, there's what to rely on, better to avoid. And the worst case scenario, if there's no goy to ask, then try to do it pachas pachas midal ramas or shnai shasua. But that's we should just avoid getting into that situation. There is not mutter. It's prohibited for a goy to push a stroller where there's no eruv. That's a different issue. Let's talk about injuries or health problems that they might have. So, first of all, any newborn baby with a fever is a chashash pikuach nefesh. So, my son Menachem, when he was 3 days old, he had a fever and we drove to the hospital on Shabbos. That was, I think, the only time that's the first time. Baruch Hashem, I had more children after that. Stitches, if there's concern for infection, certainly, that stitches, by the way, are tofer d'oraisa, most probably. But of course, if there's concern for infection, then you'd be permitted to, you can have the stitches. If there's ebo sakana, so you have chol she'ebo sakana, every child, even if they're healthy, has the heter of chol she'ebo sakana. So you're always allowed to do milanachri for a kid. Whatever you need to do for a kid's tzrachim are a child who needs something, who's not feeling well, whatever, will always have a din of not doing anything to do.
Yeah, same sort of
clue
that you're planning to remove the stitches, so for
if the stitches are removable, that might not be the rest you're saying. It might not be shel kayam. That depends on how we define the word kayama, because for 7 days, that might be kayama. I don't have kriyam means for a retirement. Okay. If you have other drabanas, so for example, a nebulizer which is electric, and your kid needs a nebulizer to get some medicine if they're having a hard time breathing or something, then maker hadin, we will be makel to. Maker hadin, we assume that electricity is only drabanan. If that's the case, so if you do it kilachayad, there's room to be makel if there's no other choice. If you have electricity is the only drabanan, I'm using it kilachayad is drabanan. And if b'sha'as avchak, it would be mutter to, if it absolutely was necessary, there's no goy around, and there are no other choices, it would be mutter to use your elbow to turn on the electric nebulizer on Shabbos. I actually got this shayla a few months ago. again, try to find a guide. If not, then you could turn it on. Do this in the Rabbanon of electricity, kalacha yad, for a tzorech of Sfiras HaKodesh. Let's now go to the next year. We'll talk about, do you want to do infertility, a short one, or do you want to do women's issues?
They're both so enticing.
Okay, so women's issues, are we research? So, of course, we're all familiar with Chazal that say, and yes, we do pass in that way. The question is, how do we apply it? Shachnara says that applies to Rov Nashim, and that applies to Tosh Baal Peh. Of course, she does get schar for it if she learned, because she's a Mitzvah Ose. The Prisha, however, says that if there's a woman who herself demonstrates that her interest in learning, her love for learning, so that would be Mutter. T-shirt. Sefer Mayan Ganim says that if a woman taught to learn to become a girl, or whatever you want to call that, then a scholar, then it's appropriate to give her whatever color, you know, some color for that as well. Now, obviously, even though there might be a certain just teaching regularly, the woman is not interested, but all women certainly, unquestionably, do have to learn all the halachas that apply to them. So that means they have to learn all of Mordechai. They have to learn all of Choshen Mishpat, they have to learn a good chunk of Eben Ezer, and they have to learn all of Yerodeah. So, I think there's lots to keep them busy. We should be zochet to know all that will apply to us as well. Rav Soloveitchik expanded, his idea was that obviously there has to be a Chashiva Sator, and if she learns everything else in a sophisticated way, if she has a PhD in Astro, something or other, so that her knowledge of Yiddishkeit and of Torah should be no less deep. Igros Moshe talks about the motivations of women to learning, and he says that even if they have different chiyuvim and mitzvahs, it doesn't mean they have a different level of kedusha, whether or not they have some mitzvahs. They have fewer mitzvahs but still have equal kedusha, but nevertheless the motivation that women have to learn more should obviously come from a goal of promoting Kedusha, not from any other ism that might motivate. As far as women leadership positions, there are four basic concerns, which we'll talk about. One is Tzniyas concern, that's obvious. A second is Mesora, that's obvious. Third is halachic issues, which are, for example, like if she could want to be an aid from today till tomorrow, but if aid is possible, it would be nashim, nothing to talk about. And what we'll speak about now is Sarar. So the Rambam, the Pasuk says, Som tasim alacha melech, and the Sifri says, Melech lo melka, that means the highest position in Klal Yisrael is reserved for a man, not for a woman. The question is, how to deal with the Rambam. The Rambam's girsa was, V'chein kol mesimos shav Yisrael. Not just the highest position, but all other positions of Sarara, of leadership. Now, the Rav Moshe was asked the Shaila. Now, this is a machlokas, by the way, other Rishonim only quote the Sifri of Malach L'Malka. They don't apply they don't add the additional comment of the Rambam applying it to other situations of Sarara. Now, Rav Moshe was asked about a woman being a mashkicha, and there Rav Moshe says that, is this Sarara or is it not Sarara? Rav Moshe says that, you know what, maybe it is Sarara, because it's telling people what to do. It's telling the Baal Bat that they could eat or they shouldn't eat it. Telling the owner of the store, maybe it would be Sarara. However, when Mi'ikra did, it should be mutter to have a woman mashkicha, because, again, the case that he was dealing with is a woman, it was her parnasa, it was her husband's parnasa, her husband died, she was up with nothing, you know, so this obviously he's pushing to find the heter. But Rav Moshe says that Mi'ikra had din, really, we pass like the other Rishonim who say that who don't hold from this chumra of the Rambam called Mesimah Shev Yisrael. And therefore, Mi'ikra Hadin, the Malkam Hadchak, one could be Mekel, not like the Rambam. However, we should still, you know, we still have to deal with the Rambam. We still should be Machmir for the Rambam because it is proper to be Machmir for the Rambam. So therefore, she should work under a Rav HaMachshir so that even if she's the one on the floor, there's technically somebody in a higher position to Beyonce that she does a rapa, even though Mikhail didn't, he holds that Sefer HaChinuch and other Rishonim might be correct. As far as woman becoming president of a shul, as far as woman being elected for a position, obviously if she's Yirei Shamayim and the other's not Bikara, it's better to have a woman who has Zerora than a woman who is than a man without Yirei Shamayim. Now, Rav Soloveitchik, everything we said now has nothing to do with Rav Soloveitchik. Now I'm going to add a chiddush to Rav Soloveitchik, adding that besides the Isra Srara, which is the Rambam, there's an additional concern called a din of Minui. And Minui is if a person, a woman is appointed to a set position. So he brings it from a Raman Hilchos Shlita, that I think Rav Gnech might have also mentioned, that a woman, Rav Gnech said the same Shtikl Torah, by the way, that the Ramah says, even though that not, the Gemara says Nashim are Shoftos, the Ramah says that women are analogous not to Sheft. So Rav Soloveitchik explains the reason why this minhag of women not Shefting changed from the time of the Gemara until the time of the Ramah is because originally everybody Sheft in the backyard, there was no position called a Shochet, so women are not allowed to Sheft. However, more recently, communities adopted the, as the Ramah himself paskins, adopted that only a person with Kabbalah it becomes a Shochet in the town, so it's an appointed position. Ah, and once it's an appointed position, so then it's not proper to give an appointed position to a woman. Now, keep in mind, a ger also has a similar din that there's an issur srara for a ger. However, the minui is permitted for a ger. So, for example, if we assume that for example, in Salvation, we talked about presence of shuls, in Salvation thought that there would be two problems. First of all, the Sarara component, and separately, there would be the Minui component that he also was Mechadesh being a concern. Okay, as far as women rabbis, this class is primarily male, so it's not an issue for you here, but let's say exclusively male. What are you going to say to people when they ask you about why they can't be rabbis? After all, women can be very empathetic, and we all know that being a rabbi has a lot to do with empathy, or at least that's what's become. So, a purely halakhic reason, putting Sarara aside, which is a halakhic reason, many rabbis are not in a position of Sarara, unfortunately, because their Baal Batim tells them what to do, and I think they're going to tell their Baal Batim what to do, but that's a conversation for a different time. Also, besides the Tzniyah's concern, besides the Masorah concern, there's also a purely halakhic issue. The Rambam says, what is smicha? Smicha, well, first of all, the Aruch HaShulchan says smicha is giving somebody authority to be a rav. So by definition, it's smicha. But more than that, the Rambam says smicha l'doros is not like smicha that we had, in the unbroken chain. Smicha l'doros is that giving that person to rishus l'adam dine knasos, which means that if a person, for example, a woman, is not able to be dan dine knasos, so the concept of smicha does not even begin to apply. It cannot even begin to apply, and therefore, since women unquestionably are not able to be done, as we have a Xeris and Kasev, learned that I think from Kol HaMeid, only one could be made to be done, therefore women cannot receive smicha from a purely halachic perspective. As far as women paskening, so here's a discussion among the poskim. Chachua says that a woman can be mora, and Chinuch also says that that a woman who drunk is liable for the din of being moreh with wine being inebriated. So Tosa said, asks in numerous places, how could Dvorah be done? You know that Tosa says that Dvorah was done. How could she do it? After all, she's psula for a witness, so she can't be done. So one answer Tosus gives is that perhaps it's like a special exception because she was appointed by Kodesh Baruch. Another answer that Tosus gives is that she wasn't done. She just taught the men how to paskin, and that, as we just mentioned, that might be okay. Women are allowed to provide their halachic guidance, as we see from the fact that they are usher to have mishtu yayin when they offer their halachic suggestions. Tosis just says more simply. I'm sorry, the Shulchan Aruch passes that a woman is psula lotan, and doesn't accept any of Tosis' answers. Fine. So, as far as the fact that we assume that women cannot be done, clearly they cannot get smicha ayin. Kaddish, woman saying Kaddish. The Chavos Yari says that there probably is a tikkun to the neshama if a woman says Kaddish, and there might not be an issur of Dvarim Shebe Kedusha, but there is a concern that this will be an Kedushah and Hagim, and therefore it is not proper to get involved. The Petkin argued and said that Efshur Shein, that if a woman is going to stand in the front of an Esus Nashim, and she says it together when the men say it, and they're dressed properly, and they have proper motivations. And Efshur, he says, she'en k'beda, but not to come into the actual base knesses. So this, Reb Hetkin, is presumably the practice that leads some women to be able to say kaddish. But Chizitka says, what do you mean? It's davar shebekdusha. It's nothing to start with. The Mechizitka, God bless. Well, Baron Soloveitchik has an interesting svar. He says that if Medina is mutter and you stop them because you worry about the slippery slope, that just strengthens the arguments that the opponents, you know, the opponents of tradition would say, oh, they see how oppressed they are because it's mutter, they're still being mutter. So Soloveitchik thought that there's mutter to be made. Fine. So whatever you do, it has to be a discussion with appropriate ones. Let's talk about Bas Mitzvah. So Rav Moshe famously said that we're already mitzvah on Bar Mitzvah parties. Why would you want to start up with the same problem with a Bas Mitzvah? Sri Deyesh, however, said that for the purpose of being mechanech and inspiring a woman, it would be okay, but it cannot be in the shul. Not be the shul, but in the social would be okay. Svarim, however, have been doing this for centuries. Rav Adi said it's a wonderful thing to see smiras and tishpachas. And the Ben Ishchai, he says even the Ben Ishchai didn't make a bas mitzvah. I can't imagine it looked like some of our bas mitzvahs, but Svarim always had a delightful party. Rabbi Willig has an interesting svara that he likes to say at bas mitzvahs, and that is that there are two reasons to celebrate Bas Mitzvah. First of all, let's back up. For Bar Mitzvah, there are two reasons to celebrate a Bar Mitzvah. One is the father has fulfilled his din in Chinuch, and to raise his son to become a Ben Torah. And secondly, because the child reached the old mitzvah, the point of Chivah Mitzvah. So you said the following. If it's Bas Mitzvah, so the father wasn't a Chiyuv to be Mechanech or to teach the Torah. So the father has no din to make a Bas Mitzvah party. So he shouldn't invite any of his friends. The girl, in terms of the second din of her reaching, Bas becoming an accepted all mitzvah, so she can have her friends and her family, not the father's friends. That's an interesting, that's a very creative suggestion. Okay? As far as aliyahs for women, that the Gemara says that women should not get aliyahs because of Kavod Tzibur. What happens if there's a Tzibur that's so into Kavod? They want to give covet even to women and they consider it covet for themselves. The Bach says, I apologize, but even if you feel that it is a covet for you or Tzibur, it is not nitam l'mechila, because the covet that we're speaking here is not the covet of any individual or any individual community, but it's the covet of the Tzibur of Kal Yisrael, and therefore aliyahs are out of the question. Obviously, all issues of these matters should be discussed with Gedolei Torah. Okay, that's the end of that year. Let's go to the next year. Do you want a Chol HaMoed or do you want infertility?
Infertility.
Or do you want a Daven Mincha right now? And then we'll have to
get to
2:30. Okay, we'll continue. Fine, let's talk about infertility. This is a shorter shir, a shorter review. So obviously, one of the issues that has been dealt with in infertility is shrikas avatala. But if it is produced, if the zera is produced for reproduction, that won't be a violation of batala, because it's not a batala. There's a separate problem though, and that is a problem of Mi'ath Biyad. And therefore, Moshe says that even if there's a heter to produce a zeh, but it shouldn't be Biyad. So ideally, it should be Zora Mi'bifnim, Biyora Mi'bachutz, or use some kind of condom that has some other way to collect it in a way that is derech Biyad, that is possible. Obviously, Shaz will be asked when needs to be asked. Let's talk about paternity, maternity. How do you define a father? So let's talk about a father who is, who do we know was a father in Tanakh, even though they weren't, he wasn't around when his child was there. So because Esther, Ela Ava Aim, Chazal say that his father, Esther's father died while her mother was pregnant. So you see that she's called an Av. Esther's father is called an Av, even though he died before Esther was even born. So clearly, the one who is the father is the one who is Masriah. Not so many other options. The Gemara Chagiga talks about Nisabra Ba'ambati, and Bishmuel Paskins that Nisabra Ba'ambati is Aviv L'chol Dover, meaning the person whose Zera was deposited in the pool that entered a woman and impregnated a woman and gave birth to a child, that father who left the Zera there is considered Aviv L'chol Dover. So clearly you see again that a sperm donor, even if there's no Maisabia with the mother, sperm donor would be the father, even though, for L'chol Dover, the Bishmol says, even though he's not really around. It's Mashal, Michas Yisrael says that would be true, a sperm donor would be true as the father, L'chol Dover, even for the fulfillment of Pur Avu, which means that if, let's say, a husband and wife can't have children naturally, and he's just donates the sperm and they put it in a test tube, that would still be a fulfillment of Pur Avu, according to this Beis Shmuel. Now, let's talk about what happens if the case that we just spoke about, but even further. Let's say a guy is dead. Could you take his zera after he's dead, and the Masriah woman after he's dead, where the conception itself will take place after he's dead, and that count as him being a father? I mean, could he become a father after he's died? Could he be Masriah after he's dead? So here there's another Yehuda that talks about the following case. Another Yehuda asks the following. Let's say there's a case of Yibum. The halacha is that you wait 90 days after a man dies to assure yourself that this woman, the almana, isn't pregnant. Take 90 days to know. So another Yehuda says, wait a second. Let's say they had Bia right before he passed away. So why are you only waiting 90 days? After all, the Zera is still effective, is still potent for 3 days after, let's say he was Masriah, his wife. The Zera lives and is, there's a conception almost 3 days later. So you should need not 90 days, but you need those 3 days until conception happened, then 90 days after that until you can recognize whether or not she's pregnant. Why is it only 90 days, not 93 days? So the other Yehuda says it must be that if she becomes pregnant after her husband died, when he died and she then becomes pregnant, it must be you don't have to wait because that such a woman will still need Yibum v'chalitza, even though there is a son. Imagine there's a woman who has a baby, possibly, and she'll still need Yibum v'chalitza because it happened after her husband died. And in that context, he says, but in that case, the father will still be Avim v'chol Dara. What do you see from this other Yehuda? You see from this other Yehuda that even though the Hazra, even though the conception, the Bia was before, but the conception happened after the father died, he still has a din of Av. So taking that idea from another Yehuda, I'm putting it into a test tube. If you take Zera and it's frozen in a person who's in a guy goes to the army and they have his Zera in a frozen test tube somewhere, and Rahman al-Islam, he gets killed, or some other thing happens to him, or before cancer treatments, and Rahman al-Islam, something happens in those treatments, and they could have his Zera, and he could have children, he could be Avim v'chol Dover, even though they use his Zera after he was dead. Fine. Shlomo Yisraeli says you can't really bring a raya from that case, because the case that we spoke about it, what possible maisim, let's say this father who provided the zera in this woman, and she, you know, conceived after he died, he's the father. Yeah, he's the father because nothing else happened after he died. As opposed to if you do a whole IVF, in vitro fertilization process after he's dead, then, or in IUI, you take his zera and put it into the woman, or you put it into a test tube, and there's the whole process that you do after he's dead. Maybe there, when you're doing the whole process after he's dead, then he's not considered the father. Maybe he's only considered the father when he actually deposited in the woman himself before he died. That's what he considers. It's a question if you could bring a raya from that note of view. Fine. Let's finish off this shiur talking about. Talking about who's the mother. Now, if mothers, life gets a little more confusing, because let's say you have one mother is supplying the eggs, and a different mother carries the baby. So there are four possible, you know, possibilities. Either no one's the mother, both are the mother, or, obviously, these are the more mainstream ideas, either the egg donor is the mother, or the surrogate, the gestational carrier, is the mother. So how do we pass in this situation? So Rizal Nechemia, so there, says if one of the, Rabbi Yashiv is quoted by numerous of the poskim saying that if we follow the one who's carrying, not the egg donor, but the one who carries the baby. And so if you realize, if you think of it, if one of the mothers is a non-Jew, let's say one of the, either this egg donor or the carrier is a non-Jew, Rabbi Yashiv suggests you should do Geres B'chumra, just to be on the safe side. Shal Yisraeli suggests that we could bring a raya from Chazal that depends on who the gestational mother is. How so? Because Leah Davin to switch her male baby with Rachel's female baby. So Leah was supposed to have Yosef, and that was given to Rachel. And Rachel was supposed to have Dina, and that was given to Leah. And yet, who's Dina's mother? Leah. Who's Yosef's mother? Rachel. So you see that it wasn't the, even though that wasn't the one who gave the egg, it was the opposite who gave the egg, but it was the one who carried the baby who was considered the mother, not the egg donor. That's what you see from Chazal. Others say, what are you talking about? Why are you bringing proofs of these kind of halakhic issues from Chazal that are Agadita? You can't bring proofs from Agadita for these kinds of situations. Okay.
Esther Karkolin is also in the Agadita.
What?
Esther Karkolin is also in the
Agadita. The Gemara already applies it for not Agadita. Gemara applies it. No, here we're taking an Agadita and applying it, and we're applying it to a Shah. Gemara there applied it itself. What?
So you're limited to where Chazal applied Agadita.
Perhaps. Okay, now in terms of figuring out who the mother's life is even more complicated, because now it's not just a matter of an egg donor and a carrying mother. There could also be an egg donor and a other part. There's the nucleus, and then besides the nucleus, there's also the mitochondria. So you could have two genetic donors plus a gestational mother. So you could have three mothers, possibly. So that can get really exciting nowadays, and we'll have to see how the post can deal with that. Okay, let's go. We have two shiurim left. Do you want to do shkita, or do you want to do chol hamoed? Chol hamoed. Chol hamoed. Okay. So hilchos chol hamoed, Rabbi Adler is here. Chazal say, the Mishnah says, Mevaze Samados, Inlach Elik Olam HaVol, what does Mevaze Samados mean? First of all, the Rishonim say that's referring to Chol HaMoed, not Yontif. Because Yontif, it should be Mechalo. Samados is just Mevaze. So Rashi says, somebody who's knowing about Minha Chol, the Achila Ushasiyah. So the most important thing about Chol HaMoed is, before we start, is that you have to have good food. And also others say you have nice clothing also. Let's talk about this in Malacha on is Mr. Daraisa or is Mr. Drapa? So the Gemara Chagiga mentions that five different drashas from Sukkim indicating that there's an Isra Malacha on Chalamoy. So just for example, give one or two of them. The Pasuk says, Eskakam Matzah Tishmor, what does the word Tishmor mean? Don't do Malacha, right? Tishmor is not Malacha. Shivas Yom, so it sounds like 7 days of not doing Malacha. Sheishes Yamim Tochamad Fine. And other such drushes. So the second reading of those Gemaras is that they're all five or six reasons to psukim that indicate that Malach is also Doraisa Chalmoy. However, Tosfos Chagiga says that every one of those drushes are all asmachas, and the Issa Malach is only the Rabbanan. He has a few proofs. First of all, we know that there's a difference between Chalmoy and Yantiv, that Chalmoy gets four aliyahs, and Yantiv gets five aliyahs. If there was an Issa Doraisa of Issa Malach, it should be just like Yantiv, there should be five aliyahs on Chalmoy as well. Secondly, Tosfos argues, how could there be a heter of Dabar Ha'aveh if you're talking about Issa Doraisa? As far as Dabar Ha'aveh, it only applies to the things that are only Asu Drachman. Thirdly, he quotes Yushalmi. The Lashon of Yushalmi is Klum Asru Malacha El Lechol Veluma Torah. So Lashon Asru Malacha sounds like it's an Issa Midrachman. So with this Issa Drachman, what's the nature of the Issa? The point of Chazal is that they're trying to preserve a certain character of the day. That should be a day. That should be a day of Simcha and Lechol Veluma Torah. What's the nafkamina whether malacha on chalmoy is der rabbanon or deraisa? The nafkamina is, first of all, would we apply the din of shvita shvus malacha mitzvah? Meaning, could you ask a guy to do malacha on chalmoy with tzorach mitzvah? So, if it's only this rabbanon, and you're asking a guy that's another rabbanon, that's a tzorach mitzvah, should be mitzvah. Second, another nafkamina is whether you should put on tefillin. If there's an issa deraisa of doing malacha, so you have an os from the Issa Malacha, so you should not try to fill it. Thirdly, let's say there's a suffix whether this is a Malacha. So if it's a Darais, it would be suffix La'achmir, it would be suffix La'alka. So, there are Rishonim though, I told you, Tosfos said that's only Darais, but the Sefer HaTinach, for example, says that it is Darais. How can you have an Issa Malacha Darais, and yet still have all these kulas, like the Ha'aveh, for example, and other such kulas? So, the clear way to understand is that even if you hold that it's deraisa, it's still shavu chavaslashna masra kasla chachamim to set together of the issa deraisa. So since chachamim have the right to set the parameters, yes, the issa is deraisa. But chachamim set the parameters of what will be subsumed under the issa deraisa to get whatever goal they want to create, what kind of yom, the character of the day that they want to create. Fine. What are the rules of Malacha? There are five things that are permitted on Chalmoy. Number one, Dabar Ha'aveh. Number two, something that is the Tzorach Chalmoy. Number three, Apoal She'en Lo Mah Lechol. Number four, Tzorach Rabim. And this is not sure what this is. Now, within Tzorach Chalmoy, you have to be aware of what? Within Tzorach HaMoed, there's a chilul. Tzorach HaMoed is only mutter to do a Maaseh Hagel. However, if it's a Tzorach of Ochel Nefesh, then a Maaseh Uman is permitted. So, for example, if you want to... we'll come to discuss that later on. Let's talk about one other question. What about Tircha? So, for example, are you allowed to not violate any Malacha, but move your furniture around on Chalmoy? Or, we furniture around the Chalmoy. Similarly, Mara says that marriage, getting married on Chalmoy is also because it's a tircha. Meaning, besides the separation of smach and chagat, will be shtacha, but certain things that involve, you have to put together whole suda, even though there's might not be an isser of anything, but that's put it together, but there's a tircha. So, what's the smara why tircha should be asr? After all, it's not a malacha. And the answer would be that because without the tircha, you could be more of a simcha. And actually, I'm sorry, the Shibbol HaLevi says it very nicely. He says that chacham asr tircha, so you could be a simcha. And since you're sameach, your leiv will be ponah to be able to learn Torah. So that's a gevaldik before you should say on say over at the table, just how the Shibbol HaLevi says that. It's a beautiful part. Tircha is the meha simcha, and the simcha, the purpose of having simcha yad is for what? So you can sit on that. Beautiful. But we could have a lot of situations where you have a malacha that's not a tircha, or a tircha that's not a malacha. So for example, flicking off a light. If flicking off a light. There's no sort of theology whatsoever in flicking off a light. In your bedroom, there is. But let's say the downstairs, the living room, the dining room, you can leave the lights on all for 7 days. It doesn't really cost much, especially if you have LEDs. There's no other rabbi about. So you let flick off that light. Well, that's malacha. But there's no tircha. Sometimes you could have the opposite. You could have something that's a malacha, that's tircha. Sometimes you could have tircha without malacha. We spoke about moving your furniture around. These are all permutations that the post can deal with. It does pass the halacha ma'aseh that tircha is also even if there's no malacha in the house. The question that we asked about that's not that it is a malacha, but it's tircha, like flicking off a light, there the chazish is not. But mikra then, also, let's say going outside without an eruv, you have a tissue in your pocket. You have to make sure you have no, you're not going to use that tissue. Or some other thing that happens to be in your pocket, something like sometimes you go to some random thing, you're going on a date, you got something from David and Buster's, a token from David and Buster's, and it's still in your pocket from that date, you're wearing your suit, and that chamoy you're wearing this suit, it's not really a chamoy suit, it's, chamoy date suit. So you're losing your jacket, and you're going where there's no Arab, so you're not going to use it. Yeah, what are you not going to back to David and Buster's?
Yeah.
What? A chamoy. So could you just make sure that you take out of your pocket this thing that is no use? You never go back to your buses again. You never want to think about this girl again. So do you have to map it to get it out? That's something that is a malacha, but there's no tircha. That would be the chazishu malach. I think most people are made. Yeah.
Can we say by the shutting off the light in the downstairs room, that's a loss of money
if it's an LED, it's not really a loss of money. Even if it's a fluorescent, it's not much of a loss of money. It's an incandescent, it's a few cents. So is that a dollar of it? Okay. In general, it's important to know that on Kalamoy, the halach is a mokta, not a halach. The halach is only xeros. Like, don't climb a tree, don't ride an animal, those also don't apply. Let's now talk about Tzorach HaMoed. We said that by Tzorach... Oh, the fifth one, what I told you before, the one that I was missing... was Tzorach
HaRabim.
You said that.
Did I say that? Yeah.
Oh, Eilam HaLachal, Dabar HaVeit, Eilam HaLachal, Tzorach HaRabim, Tzorach HaMoy.
Ochul
Nefesh. Maybe the other one is Maisa. Okay, fine. So maybe it's a life part. Fine, let's talk about Tzorach HaMoy. So for Tzorach HaMoy, we're going to divide it up. There's Tzorach HaMoy for Ochul Nefesh. There we will permit even a Maisa woman. So if you're lucky enough to marry a pastry chef, then she could make the fanciest, most elaborate, and sophisticated professional pastries that she wants, because that is ochel nefesh. However, other tzorachim that are not for food purposes are only on mutter to do a ma'aseh hedyo, not a ma'aseh tumah. And even there, where you have a head to do a ma'aseh hedyo, the Shulchan Aruch says, if it's a tzorach Yantif, that's Ma'aseh Hedyo, should also be done with Sinah, because people might not realize that it's a Tzorach HaMoed. Unless it's clear, like driving to Hershey Park is a Tzorach HaMoed, and the only way to do it is by driving there, or selling fruits and vegetables, everyone realizes that's also a Tzorach HaMoed, that you don't have to do with Sinah. And even when you are allowed to do this Ma'aseh, this Tzorach HaYantif, you cannot be Mechavi Malach to LeMoed. So if you have an appointment, you can't say, oh, I'm off anyway, I'm going to be Mechavi Malach, I'm going to arranged to do it on Yontif. It is a Torah, I have to do it, it is for Yontif, but if you specifically schedule the Yontif, that's not okay. Now let's talk about a Ma'aseh Umah that we say is Aser, even if it's a Torah. In terms of sewing, that's an issue. In terms of changing, fixing a car, if it's flat, okay, that's not a Ma'aseh Umah, that's okay. But if you're doing, fixing a carburetor, that's something more complicated, you can't do that, even if it's a Torah HaMoed. When we get to also talk about Tzorach HaMoed, unless you want to do a Polaroid, take a Polaroid picture. So here, on one hand, it's that Tzorach HaUman. Is that a Malachas Uman? Well, the product looks pretty professional. The app was just pressing a button. So a similar issue applies to printing. When you print something on a computer, it looks like a nice professional piece of Tzorach. The app was a, my 9-year-old Bais Yaakov girl could, print something, and she's certainly not a woman of computers. So This was Machlokes and Igus Moshe and Yaakov. Moshe finds and says, since anyone could do it, it's not a Maestrum, it's Mutter. It's a Polaroid camera. Presumably he also allowed printing. And Yaakov said, no, since it comes out, the Tatsa is a professional touch, so Polaroid camera would be Asr. Presumably Yaakov would also Asr printing. So in general, if you could avoid printing, even if it's a Tzarach Moed, it's good to avoid printing if you can. Now, the question that we're going to discuss now is, we just said that for Ochel Nefesh, Tzarachei Moed are mutter entirely, even a Melechas Duma. The question will be, what happens if it's not really Ochel Nefesh, but it's other Tzarachei Hagluf? Here we have a Mishnah that says that a woman is allowed to do makeup, even like an Uma, right? Even if she could go to a cosmetologist. That's the word, cosmetologist? Yeah, cosmetologist. Cosmetics lady. Why? But that's a Maestruma. So the Rishonim say, because Kishat Haguf and other Tzarachei Haguf is like Ochel Nefesh, so we'll permit even a Maestruma. With that in mind, we could talk about a broken toilet. If there's a toilet that needs to be fixed and you have to call a professional plumber, that's a Maestruma. So if there are five bathrooms in the house, so there's no smell, so you shouldn't fix something, right? If there's one or two bathrooms in the house and you have a guest, and that's a Tzarachei Haguf. So Tzarachei Haguf would be like Ochel Nefesh, and we would permit even a Maestruma in there. As far as, this I have this Shiloh going, somebody called me up, it's a crazy Shiloh. Person moved from Arizona 5 years ago. But the family goes for Pesach. And they kept their dentist. This is a family with like a whole bunch of kids. And they only use the dentist in Arizona. It happens to be they're going to Arizona for Pesach. And because they used to live there, so they still have the house where they used to live there. So they're going to their house in Arizona, they don't go to the building, they're going to their house in Arizona. And the way the schedule worked out, with Talmud and Shabbos, whatever else, they're only going to be there for, not going to be there before and after. So could they have their regular dental appointments, checkups, not for anything in pain, not for any issues, just their checkups on Talmud. That's what we'll talk about right now. So if there's pain, clearly that's considered a Ra'abim. If there's a cavity that's going to get worse or going to cause pain, then also, fine, that's good, but if it's just a stock checkup, so here, the Igros Moshe says that a routine checkup is going to be awesome. However, other poskim, Shaiver and Eliyashiv, say you're allowed, that there's a heter that we find in the Shulchan Aruch, that Shulchan Aruch says that you're allowed to take medicine on Moed, and even from Chol Moed. So they say that you see that the medicine, the medical field is mutter on Chol Moed. So that's Machlokas. And I told them, I think, it's much like this, and if there's a way to avoid it, you should avoid it. If you can't, then you have to rely on, you have on whom to rely. That's better to avoid. Fine. Now, when we talk about the Heter Dovid HaAvid, the Heter Dovid HaAvid, you are permitted to do even a Ma'is Uman. So if there's a leak in your house, you're allowed to call a plumber to fix the leak, even if it's Malachas Uman. But, of course, you shouldn't schedule, you know, if you have to have the plumber come at some point, you shouldn't say, oh, I'm going to be home with Chol Moed, let's do it then. Because it is a Dabra Aleh, but no, you can't be in Mechavim left. The post can talk about business. Business, the Gemara says that it's a pragmatia. Maybe because the Xerah Shav Yifto, maybe because it's Tircha, but either way, there's an Issur Pragmatia. This is what the Aruch HaShulchan says, because the Ikur of the day is to laugh all the Gold on Torah. If you allow business, you're not going to be able to focus on the Ikur of the day. However, if there's a Tzorach Moed that your business in, like you sell jewelry, that's a Tzorach Moed, ladies like to have, you know, nice, buy nice jewelry on that tip, or a fruit store, maybe, you know, some other, maybe a pharmacy, both the stuff and then you're allowed to do business with a shinui. You know, limited hours, they close the door. If you ever want to see what a shinui looks like, go to Bar Park. And this year, all the stores will be open with the shutters half down, with the gates half down. So, I shop. Fascinating svara of the Rai. One of the things that we said is mutter on Yom Kippur is Tzarachei Rabim. Why is Tzarachei Rabim mutter? The Rabbi says that the Chachamim realized that if you don't have a time set that people could do these activities to Rabbim, no one's ever going to deal with it. So if you have a shul needs a blank No one's ever going to take care of the blind. But if everyone is off on Chol Moed and they can't go to work anyway, so then everybody will do what they need to do and help the shul and do the blank for the shul. Now, there is a limitation. We say Tzarech Ram is Mutter. The Ramah says it's only things that relate to Tzarech HaGuf. Meaning that people shouldn't trip. You want to fix that so people don't trip. You want to fix the mikvah. You want to fix the bathroom in the shul. But if you just want to, build the shul, then that's not okay. That's my school will not be permitted to build the shul just for the Tzarech Ram. It has to be said that there's some Tzarech HaGuf involved. Like a bathroom, like a mikvah, like fixing the roads so people don't trip. Fine. Let's go to the last shir. Do you want to stop here and do the shir next week, or should we continue? Should we just continue in 4 minutes? Is that 4 minutes?
One.
Oh, let's see what we can do.
Yeah.
Okay. So is shkita a mitzvah? So this machlokes is Rishon. The Rambam says yes, shkita is a mitzvah. It's in Tayag. Right, it says no, it's not. So let's try to understand what it means. There's a mitzvah to shkita. That means that I should run around. If I want to be really firm, I should run around with knives. So there are two ways to explain the Rambam who says there's a shkita. So one is that we have to back up for a second. Is shkita a kiyum, or is it just that an animal without a shkita ends up being an avim? Meaning, there's nothing positive to shkita. It just takes away the nevelim from the animal. You know, if you want to be able to say, like the Rambam, that Shkita is a mitzvah, you have to say it's not just something that takes away the nevela status from the animal. You have to say that there's some kiyum, there's some positive kiyum that gives it that's a matir for the animal. This will come into play with the halacha of Shkita on Shabbos. Shkita is on Shabbos. The Rebbe Meir asked the question, why does Shkita work? After all, Kol Dam Rachman Lo Se'aved, Yavid Lo Mahani. Wait a second. Are you doing anything? You're saying, Yavid Lo Mahani, are you doing anything? Rebbe Meir's kasha, by asking why does the Shkita work on Shabbos, why is it kosher on Shabbos, from his question you see that he assumed that you were doing something, you were being a matir. So therefore, Shkita, you see from this, is a matir. Right, that's one matir. Another part of how Rambam says that it's a mitzvah is it's not a mitzvah in the sense of an act that's a mitzvah to do. It's a mitzvah in the sense of it's an inyan d'oraisa. The same way that giving a get is not a there's no mitzvah to go give a get, but it's an inyan that if you do it, it's a d'oraisa. If you learn Torah about Hilchos Chanukah, is that a mitzvah d'oraisa? Of course, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Chanukah is only d'rabbanan, but it's a mitzvah d'oraisa because once you do it, the Torah that you learn is Daraisa, even though the act might be Daraisa, but once you're doing it, it becomes an Inyan Daraisa, so even if it might not be a Seh Daraisa, it would still be an Inyan for the Torah. That's the Rambam counts. In fact, it's an Inyan, even though it's not a real Maisa Mitzvah. Next point. Where is Shkita learned from? Well, the Torah says, Kasher Tzidisikha. But we know there's two kinds of Shkita in the Torah. There's Shkita of regular food that we eat, and it's also shkita by kashrut. In fact, one of the four avodos in the base of the dish was ma'aseh shkita. So, if we say that the source of shkita by kashrut is kasher tzidisicha, it sounds like there is an inyan to that by kashrut we're saying. You should know, you want to shed this karban, you should know. Do it like you do regular shkita. That means that shkita's kashrut is borrowed, is a borrowed halacha from shkita's kulin. That sounds like there exists something called shkita even before you get to kashrut, and that would be, that potential kashrut tzitzit would be the mitzvah. However, it could be that the Ramban assumes that shkita itself is not really, there's no independent source for Shkita itself. Shkita, how do you know you do Shkita? Well, I know, by Kachem you have to do Shkita. So that, if I do Shkita by Kachem, there's no, it's not a mitzvah to do it anywhere. It could be that Ramban holds, there's no mitzvah from Shkita, I hold that the source of Shkita, Mechulin, is from Kachem, not preceding Kachem. Next. Now, we have a Chazakah let's say some person is not here. So, somebody does a shkita. You have no idea who they are. You don't know who he is. And he walks away. So could you say there's a good shkita? So we have a chazaka. Chazaka, rov ha-metzuyim etz ha-shkita, mumkameh. So the achronim question, what's the nature of this chazaka? Is it cheskes kashrus? Meaning, if you didn't know what you were going to do, then you wouldn't... let me say the chazaka. Two ways it says. Cheskes kashrus, meaning... We have a chazaka that a person is a from Jew and he did it right. Or it's the other way. It's that people are not dodo heads, and if somebody doesn't know how to do a shita, he wouldn't be hanging around in the shlach place. So, what's the nafkamina, whether it's that we assume somebody has a cheskes kashrus, that's what why you could rely on somebody's shita, or that if he didn't have a chef, he wouldn't be doing shita. What's the nafkamina? Nafkamina is, let's say, he, for some other reason, does not have memories. For example, you found stolen animals. Stolen? So that means that the guy's a gadol. So he doesn't have a cheskes memories. So when we say, Rabbi Mitzvah Yisrael Shkita, well, if you need a cheskes kashrus, he doesn't have a cheskes kashrus. If you just say that people who don't know how to shek, don't do shkitas, well, he might be a gadol, but he wouldn't be doing shkitas if he doesn't know how to shek. Another nafkamina would be, fine, okay. Next point. This is the point that we mentioned in the shiur about women's issues, that the Rama cites that you need that a woman should not do shrita. Why does she not do shrita? Shrita is kshera for a woman. So maybe it's because of the way that she's going to faint. So the legend says, no, it's not because of the way she's going to faint. So that nowadays, the Rama says that we only do shrita if you have a kabbalah to do shrita, therefore it becomes a mini hakal, and therefore it's an issue of minui similar to the Sarah issue. And that makes a lot of sense because the halacha is that the Rama also passes that a woman is not allowed to shak for anybody else, but she is allowed to shak for herself. What do you mean? If it's that you're afraid she's going to faint, well, who cares who she's shaking for? It must be that the reason why she's allowed to shak for herself is because the etzem shlita is kshem. It's just that there's a problem with minui. So if she's with other people, if she's for other people, she's violating the minui by shakting for other people. Okay. Category shecht. So the halacha is we're almost done. The Shacharav says a cheresh, a shota, the echam yadvarim, a katan who isn't trained, all those people cannot shecht. Similarly, a goy cannot shecht. Why? A goy cannot shecht. Why can a goy not shecht? Because only a bar zibicha can shecht. We'll talk about that a little bit more. What about a katan? Why is the Kavan possible? He's also not a Bar Zvicha. He's not, he can't bring a Kavan, he's not a Mitzvah Mitzvah, so why could he shaft if he is trained? So the Shach says, because when he gets older, he will be able to see that he's in the parasha of the Mitzvahs, as opposed to a guy who's completely not a Bar Zvicha. Or in a different way, it's also a ha'achil mevelos to a kavan. So you see that a kavan is again in the nafkamina, he'll be able to do it later. But he's in the pressure right now because it's an isur mevelos to a kavan. So therefore, since the kavan has an isur mevelos, he is a bar zvicha, and that's why if he knows how to shach, the kavan can shach if he's trained to shach. Now let's talk about a guy for a minute. So a guy is the shkita's guy is puzzled, even if people watch and assure that it was a good shkita. The question is why? So Rush says the line that we just mentioned, that a guy is not a bar zvicha. He's not in the mitzvah, it's a mitzvah, or it's an inyan, whatever it is, he's not in that parasha, so it's not going to work if he does. The Rambam says a fascinating lashon, that we're worried about the concern that when a guy shefts, that he's doing it with his mind, the shema bonus zara. In other words, the ma'isa shkita is a ma'isa shkita. But the shkita that resulted was b'psul because it might have been for the wrong kavanah. So what's an afkamina whether you say that the b'psul of a guy is because it's not a bar zvicha, or it was a shkita just it might have been done for avodah zarah purposes? One afkamina might be a ger tosha. A ger tosha doesn't do avodah zarah. And therefore, according to the Rambam, there's no chashash avodah zarah, should be okay. But according to the Rush, you have to be a bar zvicha. He's not a bar zvicha. It's not in the mitzvah of Shita doesn't have any of the positive aspects of Shita. That's one nafkamina. No nafkamina is what would happen if a guy and a, you know, like when a when a bride and groom, they cut the cake at the end of the wedding, they're holding their hands together, and they cut the cake. So what happens? It's not a cake, but it's a neck of an animal. You have a Goy and a Jew cutting, slicing the animal's neck together. So let's think. If it's that the Goy is not a bar zicha, okay, but the Jew is a bar zicha, he's doing it. If it's that, yes, the Maaseh Shechita is good, but we're worried that has the Goy cut, he might have done it for his Avodah Zarah, so that still would be a problem. He would still passel. He has a thought not just to not, he could actually passel the Shechita. Fine. Finish off. One more point, and we'll finish off for the day. The Rambam says that Shechita's Goy is passel, like we said, with Malchus if you eat from it. But the Rambam has said, I'm not sure if it's going to have a Tumas Neveda. The Rambam says, what do you mean? Why shouldn't it have a Tumas Neveda? The Rambam says, just like we see by Shrek. The Rambam says, what are you talking about? Missing apples and oranges. What's the connection between Neveda? Well, why are you, you know, we're talking about Shreva here. We're talking about Shreva Neveda. What's that? That can do with Shreva. So this could be the, and also, what's the, how could, the, how could, if a Goy cut it, and a Goy is not Kasha for Shreva, so how come it won't generate Tumas Neveda? If it's not in the Shechita, so it's an Avela. So it should have a Tumah in Avela. Maybe this could be the Rambam of Shechita, based on what we just said. The Rambam said that the psul of a Goy Shechita is what? Is that he might be doing it for Avodah Zarah. In other words, the Shechita was a Maaseh Shechita. So therefore, maybe it's not an Avela. You can't eat it. But it's not really an Avela, because it was a Maaseh Shechita, it was a proper Maaseh Shechita. So therefore it's not an Avela. But is it going to be, I'm sorry, there's a proper Maaseh Shechita, but you're not allowed to eat it. But will it have a Tumah of Nevela? Maybe it wasn't. It won't have the Tumah of Nevela because it wasn't shechted with any problems. It wasn't my sister. It was just concerned that the guy had a Avodah Zarah force in his mind when he shechted. That's not going to make the animal into a Dover Amitameh. But with this in mind, Reb Chaim explains the Rambam. The Rambam says, Chatz Nevela, Chatz Yitshev, you get Malchus. Why in the world? If you have half a kezayis of Isser A and half a kezayis of Isser B, those are two unrelated, they don't start to get malchus. They're two different stuff. How come a mela and trefa isn't stacked? So if we explain, say chiddush, that trefa is the chisarov in the heter shkita, meaning normally shkita makes an animal kasher. But if it's trefa, then the shkita does not make the animal mutter. There's a lot more. You're welcome. I skipped a lot of points. You're welcome to see them thoroughly in the own notes. These are the main Rashi Prakim. Hopefully, these will guide you as far as an outline and how to organize your thoughts and your studying. And we should be zocha to know it well. As it's, okay, time's up. Let's just take a vote. I will be here on Wednesday. Something else, and I'm able to give the next portion on Wednesday at 12. That'll be the day before. Or I could give. Would anybody come to me, Skype?
Yeah.
What?
I would rather there be a
I
Skype.
Could do Skype, or and obviously it would be posted online. I could do it on Sunday, because Monday probably.
Okay.
So who prefers Monday?
Like, what? Yeah.
Okay, I'll do it for Monday, not in person. Okay,
Monday,
so
or whatever.
Monday, well, I'll do this. Once I'm doing it, I'll do it by Skype. Once I'm going to record myself anyway,
it's a little flexible.
I can just do it with Skype. So I'll post it on. This from my Skype, right?
This one also?
Is this?
Probably, yeah, you probably go for
it. Yeah.
Is there a camera to see your space?
Mordechai knows how to do it. Mordechai has
so
done it.
Okay.
That's what the whole Egyptian camera is down there.
You just have a camera just. Right. Okay, so when's that show? I'm on Monday. What time on Monday is it after me then? What time is the final show? Okay, so maybe we'll do like 1 o'clock or 15 or something. Okay.
Oh, is it Wednesday's reading week? Is that what I'm sure?
That's on the day. We just have the. Anyone left there?
Okay.
Carson and then move back, and it's still recording.
Okay, I think what I was.